October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and the statistics are staggering. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men will experience severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. You have to really let that sink in and understand that that means we all know someone who has been impacted by domestic violence. And in recognition of this month, I want to tackle some home safety tips. So welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner. I am Beth Allen, your host. I am a DIY expert, a contractor, and an educator. And I've really gotten involved in the last 2 years with the domestic violence support programs that are out there. And I wanted to bring some light to the fact that there are so many people who live in their own home with the worry that a partner is going to show up and put them at risk. So I want to talk about the safety measures, you know, for obviously for that type of situation, but also just general safety measures that we can all take. And, you know, it's getting dark. It's getting colder. We're spending more time inside. You know, our entries are dark. And there's simple ways that we can make our home feel safer and actually be safer. So we're going to dive into those. So again, whether you do know someone who might be experiencing a threat from a partner, or you just want to step up your own safety, your daughter's safety, your mother, and I'm not excluding the men. This is really just for all homeowners, but keeping in mind that women are more susceptible sometimes to domestic violence than men. So let's talk about some of the technology we can use, some of the practical things, the everyday common sense things that we can do to make our homes a bit safer. Now, my number one tip for every homeowner is to actually lock their doors and windows. And I am shocked by so many people that don't bother to lock their doors or their windows, not on their house, not on their vehicle. And this is just a simple, good habit for all of us to get into the routine of doing. So every time we shut a window in our house, we lock it. This way, you don't have to worry about it. You shut the window, you lock it. We go to bed at night, we shut the windows, we lock them on the first floor. We'll keep the second floor open, you know, keep the air moving, but you gotta lock those doors. Now, this other thing is super simple, and it's about house numbers. It's about making sure that if there is an emergency at your home, can first responders find you? It doesn't matter whether it's a police issue, fire, or even a medical need. You have to make sure that your house can be found. And this is the registered nurse in me talking, that we have to make sure that whether it's on the mailbox, whether it's on the building, or whether it's on the curb in front of our house, is our house able to be quickly identified and reached? So I want you to go outside when dusk comes tonight and walk around your property and look at your house. Can you see the house numbers? Do you need to put reflective numbers up? Maybe you need to put a LED, solar-powered spotlight shining up on those house numbers. These are simple things. Maybe you need to trim back some bushes and vegetation so that those numbers are easily seen and read. This could be the difference between life and death. So you don't want to have a first responder driving up and down your neighborhood or walking up and down your little, townhouse or condo area, and then can't find your unit. So make sure that you put out that little bit of effort. You can do these things often for less than $20. Just make sure your house numbers are visible. Now, another tip, which sounds so simple, because it is to look at the door locks on your entry doors and see whether or not you can replace the 3/4-inch screws that came with your lock set with a longer screw. If you put a 1.5-inch screw into that door jamb, into that lock set, that lock is going to hold much better than a 3/4 inch screw that is currently holding the latch to your door jamb. So simple tasks. Now, the only caveat to that is you have to make sure that the head of the screw fits into the opening of the metal so that it sits flush on your latch and doesn't stick up. So you may have to look to find the proper piece of hardware. But this is an easy thing that you can do to make sure that those door locks are a little more set in that door frame so they're less likely to be kicked in or pushed in. Now, we're going to dive a little bit more into locks because this is simple. We should all be locking our homes. Now, when it comes to buying locks, you really do want for your entry doors to make sure that they are a good quality lock. You don't want to go cheap when it comes to your entry doors. I do recommend you stick with some name brands and look at what are the guarantees, you know, what is the warranty that comes with those. Some of them have longer warranties than others. And make sure you are looking at your deadbolt options. So with a deadbolt option, you can either have it on the inside that it is a key to open on the inside, or it is a turn lock. You have to think about that situation. Do you have a glass panel next to your entry door that someone could bust the glass and then reach in and turn that? Or if you have a key lock there, you have to make sure that that key is close to the door, because if you need to exit in an emergency, you have to have the key to exit. So think about what is the situation at your home and which type of deadbolt is the better option for you at your house. Now, there's a lot of smart locks out there, which can be great. You have to have the technology. You are then relying on your cell phone. You're relying on batteries within that smart lock to function. So if you're looking at a smart lock, I definitely recommend that you look at ones that also have a keyed option as a backup. So if technology fails, as we know that it does, that you also have a key option to get in or out of that door. So check into those. There are out there. You just have to look and weigh what are the features that you need for your house. Now, if you've just moved into a home, the first thing I would be doing in the 24 hours that I'm there are changing the locks, because you don't know how many duplicate keys were given out to the previous renter or owner's friends, family, neighbors. You don't know who has access to that unit now. So definitely change the locks. This is priority number one. Priority number two in getting a new property is changing the toilet seats, but that's a whole nother conversation. Now, if you are changing those locks, make sure that you do get a duplicate key and that you have a family member or someone close in the area. You haven't met your neighbors yet, so you haven't built up that trust. But you want to have someone close by that can carry that second key for you if you do get locked out. Now, if you have a keypad lock, which are so popular because we can just punch in a four-digit code and not have to carry a key, you want to look for those keypad options that have a smudge-proof option. When these keypads first came out on the market, they would, after a while, show some wear on the numbers so that someone could identify, oh, these are the four numbers that are worn. So these four digits must be the entry code. And then someone could figure out from four numbers, it's a lot easier how to break a code than it is if you have the full keypad. So look for those smudge-proof, wear-proof keypads. And also consider changing your code periodically. Could be, you know, once a year, every 6 months. You can change up the code so that you do wear those keypads differently, and it's not as obvious for someone. We don't want any bad actors trying to figure out your code, and that's can happen. Now, we have to talk about that spare key. Obviously, it is great if you can leave it with that neighbor, and you know, if it's a longtime neighbor, great. But what do you do if you don't have that person nearby and you need to store a key? Do not leave it under the mat, Okay, that's the first most obvious place to look. So don't put it under the front doormat. Don't leave it under the flower pot on the front doorstep. Again, easy, obvious place for people to look. There are options out there that are kind of unique key holders, okay? There are fake rocks that have little compartments. There are other fake outdoor garden decor that you can buy that have a key holder in it. Even if it doesn't have a key compartment, you can put it in a Ziploc and you can hide it somewhere in the outdoors that you can put it, that it's not going to be an obvious place to go to. Another interesting idea is the magnetic key box. I don't know if anybody remembers those. These go way back. It's a magnetic box with a slide door, and you can put three or four keys in there. And that is something that you could then hide somewhere in the property attached to a metal object. Now, it could be patio furniture. It could be a gas grill. It could be maybe a shed door. Or you look around your yard and think, where could I hide this little metal box that has my spare key in it? And another option, if you are a little more DIY advanced, is go to the electrical supply aisle at the home center. And there are electrical conduit boxes. And what I mean by that is it is probably about a foot tall plastic tube, okay, a conduit or plastic tube, a pipe. And on the top of that is a little square box that you would run a power line up from the dirt or underneath the ground, up this pipe into the box, and you would be putting an outlet or maybe just splicing wires and having a junction in there. Those make great key holders because you will then put it in the dirt next to the house. The key is in where the junction box would be, and it has a little door that you can just slide open and shut. So you can place that somewhere along the foundation of your house, and it looks like it's a utility box, and no one would necessarily know that is actually a key holder. So it's a way to kind of camouflage and hide your key in a safe place. Now, I teach a class called Security for the Single Girl. I've been teaching this class for a couple years, again, and it has all these themes about how to make your house more safe. But I am a huge proponent of things we can do to reinforce our doors and windows to make sure that they are less easy to access. So when it comes to the door itself and the lock that is on your door, you can buy what's called a reinforcer. That's literally what it's called. It is a metal sleeve. It's kind of a U shape, and it wraps around the edge of the door, and it has a hole in it, either for a single doorknob or it has double holes for a deadbolt. And you slide that onto the edge of your door frame, not frame, I'm sorry, the actual door slab itself. And you line up the hole with the two lock holes, and it reinforces where that lock is, so it can't be pushed. You can't crack the wood, bend it quite as easily. So for less than about $20 usually, you can get a door reinforcer, and they are color coordinated to go with your locks. Again, simple, easy thing you can do. They screw right into the door itself, so you've got that extra security on there. Now, what else can you do on the door to make it more secure? There are door, I guess barricades, that's the proper way to look for them online. It's a doorknob barricade. So what it is a long stick. It's made of metal. They are sometimes adjustable. And on one end is kind of like a V that fits under the doorknob. And on the other end is a rubber mat. So that when you take this barricade, you tuck it up under the doormat, and it sits on an angle, and the rubber mat grips the floor. Now, this won't work so well on carpet, but it works great on tile, vinyl, and hardwoods. And now someone can push on the door, but that rubber pad is keeping it from sliding and opening. So that's one option. And then, of course, if you have a sliding glass door, you should have a stick in the track. You can buy formal sticks that fit in the tracks. You can also use, you know, a wooden dowel. You can get a metal stick. in the home center if you want, so that it is not going to be able to crack or bend like wood could possibly. And then you can always get a foot lock. We have a foot lock on our slider, and it was so easy to install. So you can search for foot locks. You could search by brand. Maybe you have a Pelador or an Anderson. Maybe you just have a generic door and you're not sure. But you can look for foot locks, and it is a two-part product that one piece goes on the door that slides and the other part goes on the frame that is stationary. And all you do is slide your foot on it at night, and it creates a lock. So if you don't want to go with the stick in the track, you can do the foot lock instead. Easy, very DIY doable, basic skill set required for that. Now, for your windows, again, make sure they actually lock when you shut them. And then if you're really concerned about window access, you could put a dowel measured to the height of the opening from the sash where the lock is to the top of the frame. So you could put a dowel in the side, just like the sliding glass door, but you're doing it vertically in the side of the window sash. Again, simple. You can get wooden dowels at Home Depot and Lowe's. They're not very expensive. You can cut them to size with a handsaw. You don't even have to have a fancy tool. You can just use a simple handsaw and cut them to length. Now, another option for windows to minimize someone getting in is shatterproof barrier. It is a peel and stick barrier that you can put on windows that helps prevent that window from cracking. So you can buy them online. Sometimes they're tinted, sometimes they're clear, and it's just cut to size, peel and stick, but it makes those windows shatterproof. So if somebody's trying to break a window from outside, they're met with this plastic coating inside and they can't bust through it easily. It slows people down, it deters problems. And it's simple enough for you to do. Now, we've got to talk about alarms. I love talking about door and window alarms. These are easy to use, easy to install, and affordable options where you don't have a full security system. So when I talk about alarms, I get a little geeked out on these because they're just so simple. I don't know why more people don't use them or have even seen or heard of them. So what I have in my hand, if you're not able to see, you can watch on YouTube later. I have a two-part system. It is a small sensor that goes on one part of your door or window. And then the other part is the alarm itself. And that goes on the moving part of the door. Or vice versa. You can decide whether you want the larger part on the stationary part or the moving part. But how it works is these two pieces have a little nub in the plastic that faces one another. And when these two pieces of metal or plastic are separated, an alarm sounds. They are peel and stick, so very easy to install. So you would apply them to the door frame, door jamb, and or the door. Same with the window. You're just going to line up the two little arrows as they're indicated. And then on the top of the alarm, there is a setting that says alarm or chime. If you set it to the chime mode, anytime these two pieces are separated by the door or window opening, the alarm device will go ding dong. So you know that it has been opened. So it's very easy to know that someone has entered the space. This is also great if you have kids or elderly seniors with dementia who try to leave the home. You will know that they opened a door because you'll hear the chime. That also has an alarm mode. So you can set it for either the chime or the alarm. Now, I will not do this over the air because it is so loud, and I'm talking so loud that it sounds as if it is a full standard wired security system in your house. So I cannot do this on the air. You will not be happy with me. But it is so easy to install and so effective. Now, it will not call 911. It will not dispatch the police, but the alarm is loud enough that it will deter any bad actors from sticking around because they don't know for sure whether this is dispatching a law enforcement or not. They just know that an alarm has been sounded. You now know that somebody is at the door or at the window, and then you can call 911 yourself. So check these out. You can buy them at the home centers, and there are tons of them online. They often come in multi-packs, so you can do several windows throughout the whole first floor of your house. They're also great in basements. Maybe you have that side laundry room door that nobody uses very often, and you need to do that, make that more secure. For dorms, it's excellent for dorms. You can also take them to Airbnbs, take them on vacation. And if you're using them in a temporary location, you use 3M command strips to attach them to the door jamb so you don't damage the wood. Now, in this mindset of safety, I want to take a moment to pause and hear from our domestic violence partner, Laurel House. Since 1980, Laurel House has been a lifeline for domestic violence survivors in Montgomery County, offering a safe shelter, a 24/7 hotline, trauma counseling, relationship education for teens, court accompaniment, and medical advocacy. But there's more work to do. Together, we can end domestic violence and help families rebuild their lives, whether it's volunteering at their thrift shops, assisting with childcare, or becoming a text line responder. Your time can make a real impact. With training and support, you can become an advocate for survivors in our community. To learn more about volunteering, donating, or simply offering your support, visit laurelhouse.org or call 610-277-1860. Every action counts. Together, we can make a difference. When the seniors in your life are facing a new chapter, the journey can be overwhelming. At Senior Transition Services, they understand that relocating isn't just about moving things. It's about honoring a lifetime of memories while preparing for a new lifestyle. While serving Bucks and Montgomery counties, the Main Line, and Northeast Philadelphia, they provide expert move preparation and downsizing assistance with a focus on empathy and compassion. They guide you and your loved ones every step of the way, identifying which items could be moved, ensuring that treasured belongings find new homes and cherished memories are preserved. Embrace this new phase of life with confidence and peace of mind. Senior Transition Services, where your past is honored and your future is embraced. Call today at 215-947-5490. So in addition to, you know, smart locks and these simple alarms that you can add to your house, let's get back to a couple of some basic things that we can do. And the first is lighting up your house. A bad actor is less likely to stick around at a house that is well lit compared to the one that is dark. So it behooves you to make sure that all of the entryways in your property are well lit all night long. And I know people are like, oh, I don't want to leave the porch lights on all night. I do. We have our porch lights on all night. We have photocell adapters in our porch lights that will detect when dusk comes and turn on the bulbs so that our lights are on from dusk until dawn. These are inexpensive adapters that screw into your existing light sockets, and then you put your bulb in. There are also bulbs available out there that have the photocell sensors built right into them. So you can Google and look into some of these options. But the well-lit door is way less interesting than the dark entry. So make sure that you are putting those lights on out there. You can also get motion-activated adapters. Now, there are some that will screw right into the bulb sockets as well. So if someone approaches that doorway, your front porch, your side door, the lights will automatically turn on. Some of them have settings that will stay on for 1 minute, 3 minute, 10 minutes. So you can adjust those kinds of things. If you're going to be looking for those for your porch lights and side, you know, garage door entries, make sure that you are buying them that are designed for exterior use because they need to be moisture proof if they are for outside. Now, you can also use those motion sensing lights inside in garages and in basements. And it's just also for your physical safety so you can see where you're going, but it could also deter someone if they made it into either the basement or the garage of your house. Now, here's a simple hack. I know it sounds really goofy, but it can work, especially if you live alone. You can go and buy a dog bowl. You can give the impression that you have a dog that lives at your house. You can leave a dog bowl by the front door or the back door. Just leave it on the porch. You can get the beware of dog sign. Now, you don't have to have the dog that goes with it. Just the sign will make someone think twice before they enter your home. So if you're going to buy the dog bowl, don't buy the little tiny Fifi bowl, okay? You need to buy the big old Fido Bruno bowl that looks like we have a big dog at this property. But for a couple bucks, it's just one added layer of security. Now, people often forget about this tip, and that is to lock the car in the driveway. Because if you leave your car unlocked, guess what's inside most of our cars? The garage door remote. Now, someone can access your house because they have the remote and you're sleeping and they push the button and the door opens and they're in your garage. So it's important to make sure that that interior door, if you have an attached garage, is locked so that if they are in the garage, they can't get any further into your house. So make sure that you are locking the cars when you park them. Also, if your car is parked in, say, a community lot outside, you know, an apartment or a condo townhouse, now they know which address is there because your identification, your address is in the glove box. So please make sure that you lock your cars at night for safety. These are simple things that you can be doing around your house to make sure that you are safer. So share these tips with the people in your life that you feel might be more vulnerable, that are perhaps single, that live alone. And even if they're not alone, this is just smart homeownership. We want to protect not only our property from being intruded upon, but we want to make sure that the people living in the house are safe. So thanks again. Remember to support your local domestic violence program. And as always, doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone.